Welcome to Single Shot.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is your host, Singleton, your knowledgeable friend, when you want to win. Boom!
Hey, it's NCAA tournament time. If you don't think you can win it, then you shouldn't be in it. Let's go to work.
All right, guys. We're back. We're doing the day two preview. I can't do a full day one review with this because I'm working in the morning and all the games are not over yet. We're going to get, they're almost over. We're on the last game now. Looks like I'm going 11-5 today. I had the big game, the big upset, the Oral Roberts. If you listened to my podcast yesterday, you would have heard me say, hey, bet your house on Oral Roberts. It's the lock of the century. Ohio State's a bunch of frauds. The Big Ten, they always have that one disappointing team that gets their ass kicked. Well, that was, not Wisconsin, Ohio State. And there was a couple other Big Ten schools that didn't look good. Purdue got their shit beat by the Mean Green. I apologize. I said the Mean Green, they would get the curb stomp, but they didn't. They actually curb stomped Purdue, which is cool because, like I said, who likes Purdue? Terrible mascot, terrible school, terrible conference. So, that's cool. Mean Green won. My boys, Oral Roberts, won. I told you they would do the pick and roll with Abmus and Obinor. Well, they scored 60 of their 75 points. They did it all fucking day. And these guys, they're not just taking wide open shots or little gimme shots. They're letting their nuts hang, taking 30-foot threes, taking, deep shots under pressure. And when they get fouled, they don't miss free throws. As I told yesterday, they lead the nation in free throw shooting. Obinor, who's 6'10", I think he was like 8 of 8 from the line. The dude is a baller. Abnus is a baller. They got big nuts. They may win another game. But so we're going to get into day two, and then we'll do a full review of day one and two this evening. Because then we got round two starting up, tomorrow? Sunday. So, tournament underway. Like I said, it looks like I'm going 11-5. Really good. I didn't quite go 16-0, but you might as well give me like 3 or 4 wins just for Oral Roberts because nobody picked that game. I did because I usually know these things, and this year is no different. I knew it was going to happen. I told you to do it, and they did it. And so let's get underway with the games for tomorrow. All right, and just a little note before we get into Saturday's round one games. If you're a team that wants to win their first tournament game in 38 years, there's only one school that you're like, hey, if we play them, there's 100% chance we will win. And that's the Clemson Tigers under Brad Brunell. When Rutgers drew that matchup, they were probably already celebrating. They probably already celebrated. They hadn't won a tournament game since 1983 or 82. It's been 38 years. And they were the 10 seed, and they drew number 7 seed Clemson. And they had to be fucking ecstatic because they knew they were facing a team that had no coaching philosophy, no semblance of, hey, what we want to do out there. And they just played their game, and it got close for a little bit, but it looked like Rutgers was always in control, and they closed the game out. So, congrats, Rutgers. I don't want to give you too much credit because you were playing Clemson, but, I'm happy for you guys for winning that, your first tournament win in 38 years. Brad Brunell, I hope they leave your ass there in Indianapolis. Find your own way home. Because this program goes nowhere with you. If you're listening, you're a loser. You're stealing money. You've been doing it for 10, 11 years now. And quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of it. Okay, so this makes me laugh a little bit. Before we get into today's game or tomorrow's games and the picks, George P., who didn't get to join me for these episodes, we're going to get together, you know, this week. But George P. was texting me all day about this Georgia Tech Loyola game. He's convinced the NCAA cheated and robbed Georgia Tech before the game was played and now after the game. He thinks somebody rigged Moses Wright, the ACC Player of the Year's COVID test. He thinks somebody rigged it up. He didn't really have COVID. He says because the NCAA didn't like Tech getting an automatic bid for winning that tournament because he thinks maybe they really shouldn't have been in the tournament. Well, I agree. They probably shouldn't have been in it. They were not that good. But they won the conference tournament. You got to put them in, right? So then he thinks they seeded Georgia Tech low on purpose and took their best player away to punish them. He's convinced of that. He also thinks the refs were paid off so they couldn't advance. But it couldn't be clearer, the conspiracy against Georgia Tech basketball to George P. It's the biggest controversy of all time. Well, you know, he said if they had Moses right, they would have won. Well, look, Georgia Tech shot 62 or 63% for the game. Even if they had Moses right, they probably would have shot worse. They couldn't win shooting 63% for the game. That ain't the ref's fault. That's your own damn fault. Stop turning it over. Get some rebounds. He said, well, we're not getting any offensive rebounds. They got the one and with like 10 seconds left. I mean, rebound the ball. Don't turn it over. Play good defense. And maybe you would win. Don't blame it on the NCAA. Don't blame it on, you know, conference affiliation. Don't do that. Blame it on yourself. Georgia Tech lost because they were not that good. You know, he said some really mean things about Sister Jean. Like, I'm not going to repeat those because they're really bad. But look, Sister Jean's 102 years old. She's a symbol for that school. And she brings them good luck. And you know what? I like her. All right? I like that lady. And I'm glad they won. And they may win another game. Like, I was hyping them up a little bit yesterday. So, you know, Georgia Tech lost because the ACC's not good. And if that's the best team the ACC has to offer, they're in some serious, serious trouble. Okay? You know, I've said it many times. They were one of the worst power conferences this year. And you're seeing that now. UNC got blown out. They got their doors blown off. Georgia Tech lost. Clemson lost. Virginia Tech lost. So all these ACC teams are losing the first day of the tournament. Syracuse won. Somehow. They were the ones that I thought were the worst in the whole tournament from the conference. They won. They won't win another game. So don't blame the refs. Don't blame Sister Jean. Blame yourself and your team. That's really all I got to say, George. All right, so the first game on Saturday is the number 12 seed Georgetown Hoyas against the 5 seed Buffaloes of Colorado. Now, as you guys know, I'm a Hoya basketball fan. They had a crazy run in the Big East tournament to win it. Because they would have not gotten a tournament. They had a losing record going in. But they had a lot of COVID issues earlier in the year. And since all that happened, they're 10-3. Now, the three games they lost in that span were Villanova, Creighton, and UConn. So those are three really good schools. They're all in the tournament, by the way. So Georgetown battle tested. I mean, they had, that conference was good. Now Georgetown turns it over a lot. I think they had the worst turnover margin on your power conferences. But they have size and strength. They have a terrific coach, Patrick Ewing, who obviously is no stranger to big games. And I think they can play enough defense to beat Colorado. Colorado's point guard, I think his name is McKinley Wright. He's been a Pac-12, he's been on the all Pac-12 team like 3 or 4 years in a row. He's a good shooter. He doesn't really turn the ball over. He passes it well. So if they contain him, they'll win this game. I think they're 6-point underdogs, but they'll win the game straight up. I got them picked. And like I said, the tournament's always better when Georgetown's in it and when they're winning. So let's go Hoyas. The next game, it's going to be UNC Greensboro versus Florida State. Now, UNC Greensboro, I mean, they won the Southern Conference, not only the regular season, but the tournament also. That doesn't usually happen. But they were first in defensive efficiency, field goal defense, blocks, you name it. They're a defensive team. Their point guard, he's only 6 foot, Isaiah Miller, but he attacks the rim. He reminds me of Ja Morant, the way he attacks the rim. For undersized dude. I'm not saying he's close to Ja Morant. I'm just saying he's not afraid to go inside and you know, lay it up. He'd have to be a good fit for Florida State. They don't really have one of those guys, a good driving point guard. So he should have probably went to Florida State. He may be better off. But besides him, they just can't shoot. Like, yeah, they can play good defense against the Southern Conference, but they can't shoot the ball. So they're going to struggle to beat Florida State. Florida State's just got too much experience, too much firepower for UNC Greensboro to win this game. Because even though UNC Greensboro's first in all the defensive statistics, in their conference, they're last in field goal percentage, three-point percentage, and free throws. They're like a 67% team free throw shooting, you know, team. They shoot 29% from three. They cannot score the game. So if they have to shoot threes, they're done. Like, if they're going around shooting threes or you know, Florida State's zoning them to death, and they have to, you know, pass it around and shoot, they're done. It doesn't seem like, you know, the Seminoles don't have any trouble. They're the tallest team in the country. They also led the ACC in field goal defense. So I don't think this is going to be close. I think Florida State covers that little spread of 11. I think they'll actually win by 20 or more. The next game is 14 seed Eastern Washington and number 3 Kansas. Now, this is an upset for me. Kansas has a lot of COVID issues. You know, they didn't get to play in the Big 12 tournament. They don't have their starting center. But also their third leading scorer, their forward Jalen Wilson, and like their sixth man. They both tested positive for COVID. They won't be available. So they're missing three key guys. Eastern Washington hasn't lost a game since January 23rd. They're averaging 83 points per game since then. They play very fast. They're in top 30 nationally in tempo. And they have a nice pair of forwards, Kim Aiken and Tanner Groves. I think they're both 6'8", 6'9". And they were number 1 and 2 in their conference in rebounding on the same team. They were top 5 in blocks. I'm picking Eastern Washington for the upset. They're only a 10-point underdog, but I think they're going to win straight up. I told you Oral Roberts was going to win. This isn't as big of an upset, but same theory. I don't think Kansas has got enough with all their issues, you know, to overcome. So the next game is number 9 St. Bonaventure versus number 8 LSU. It's almost an even spread. I think it's minus 1 to LSU. It's like a snail in a rocket race, okay? Because LSU, they score 82 points a game. They're very fast. Well, the Bonnies, they score, you know, 69, 70 points a game. But they're 320th in tempo. They're really slow. They're a top 20 defense. And I think, I don't know if you guys know, but LSU is like one of the worst defensive teams in the country. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. He's got one team that's really slow, good defense, and one team really fast and bad defense. How's that going to work out? LSU looked like they started to play very well in the SEC tournament. They were playing actually their best, you know, of the year. I think maybe their size and speed may tire out the Bonnies, but I'm picking St. Bonaventure again as a small upset. They start 5 juniors in their lineup, so they got experience. They all play 33, 34 minutes a game. So I'm not sure how tired they'll be. They're used to playing majority of the minutes. They're not very deep, but these guys play, like I said, almost the entire game. I think their defense will win out. So I'm picking St. Bonaventure. I mean, they're 9 seed. It's a small upset, but it's upset nonetheless. The next game is Texas Southern, the 16 seed, against Michigan, who's a number 1 seed. Now, the problem with Michigan is they ended the year bad. They lost Isaiah Livers, the number 2 scorer for them, to injury. They've lost 3 of 5. And everybody's doubting them. They're the only 1 seed that people are doubting. Juwan Howard's their coach. He's still a young coach. But, I mean, they're not going to lose this game. Texas Southern, I mean, they are a good team in the Southwest Athletic Conference. But they haven't played a team like Michigan. They may cover the spread of 26. Sure, they may lose by 23. But that's about their best case scenario here. So I don't see this being much of a matchup, even with Michigan's injury and COVID issue. So Michigan moving on. The next game at 3:30 is UC Santa Barbara, their number 12 seed, against Creighton, number 5 seed. You know, Creighton, they got a racist coach, by the way. He was saying, hey, we don't want to stay on up. You know, you guys want to stay on this plantation? Dude's a racist. All right. But what do you expect? A white guy from Nebraska. You know, I mean, that's how they think. So, you know, after his racist comments, they didn't finish the season well. They lost a couple of games. They didn't, you know, they let Georgetown score, what, like 19 points in a row in that Big East semifinal. So they're on a little downswing. Their coach has some turmoil going down. So on the other side, UC Santa Barbara, they've lost just 1 game since January 1st. Okay. Their coach, I think his name is Joe Pasternak. He was 6-22. I'm sorry, they were 6-22 the year before he got there. They've won 20 games every year he's been their coach. UC Irvine was super good this year, and they beat them by 17 points in their conference tournament final. Their point guard, he's pretty good. Ja'Cory McLaurin, he's a baller. He's not afraid to light it up, you know.
The spread is 7. Creighton's favored by 7. They're going to beat the spread, but they're also going to win the game. So there's another upset. Today's going to have a lot of upsets, by the way. But Creighton, I'm sorry. You deserve to lose because your coach is racist. All right, so the next game scheduled for 4 has Alabama, the number 2 seed. As you, some of you guys know, I have them in my final 4. They're going to be playing Iona, a 15 seed. Now, Iona, pretty crazy season they had. They had 50 days, a 50-day pause of COVID, like, near the beginning of the year. And then towards the end, they had a 17-day pause. So they basically had 70 days of no basketball activity on their season. Now, their coach is Rick Pitino, obviously one of the greatest coaches of all time. They were holding teams like 52 points per game during their tournament, conference tournament run. But they turned the ball over a lot. He just took over the program. Obviously, they're not a very big school. They Alabama is a top 3 or 4 team. They would probably be in the title had they not had to face Gonzaga in my bracket. That's how good they are. This won't be close. I think the spread is 17. You might as well chalk them up to a 25-point victory. It's a nice story for Iona to make it after all the issues they had, but it's not going to be a contest. As far as offense and defense, Alabama's in the top 10 in both. You won't be able to slow them down. The next game is number 11, Drake, who won a play-in game over Wichita State. They're playing Southern Cal, the real USC, not those frauds in Columbia. Drake won their first 18 games. They got ranked, I think they peaked at like number 13 in the country. But their schedule was weak as hell. Then they started losing. Then they lost their leading rebounder and scorer, Tank Hemphill. And then their starting point guard. They still won an at-large bid after all that. They probably shouldn't have made it in the field because they're, I guess you don't want to take away their season after they had the injuries, but you got to take the team as they are now. The selection committee, they don't do that. So they took Drake in on their past, the beginning of the season, not their current form. Not going to play well for them. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. They may be within the spread. I think the spread's 8. But they just, their two best players they don't have. So USC should not lose this game. Especially Drake already playing a game shorthanded. I don't see it happening. It'd be a nice story, but it's not going to happen. Okay, and then next we have the number 15 seed Grand Canyon, which I didn't even know was a university. They're playing number 2 seed Iowa. Iowa has Luka Garza. I don't know if you've seen the dude. He's a monster, and he just lights it up from 3. Him and when they played Gonzaga, had he just had a decent shooting night, they probably would have beat Gonzaga. But the dude is a monster. Now, Grand Canyon has a 7-foot monster, Midgard. He's from, like, I don't know if he's from Denmark or Iceland. He's overseas. He leads the nation in field goal percentage. He shoots 72% from the field. That is ridiculous. Ridiculous. But he also rebounds 10 a game. He blocks almost 2 shots a game. The dude is a monster in itself. he's not going to light it up shooting wise because he takes very high percentage shots, but he's good inside. So it's going to be a matchup. You know, you got the Big Dane and the Garzilla. The Hawkeyes, they shoot the three well, but they also lead the nation in assists. They pass it around a lot. They have the lowest assist to turnover ratio as well. They score 84 points a game. And they shoot 39 from three, like I said, as a team. They have some injury concerns, but they're going to blow by the spread. The spread's pretty low. It's 14 points. They're going to blow by that. Grand Canyon, he runs over. Good luck next year, you know. Better luck next time. So next we have the number 10 seed Maryland Terps and the number 7 seed UConn Huskies. Now, the Huskies, they were first in the Big East in defensive efficiency, scoring defense, block percentage, all that. But Maryland was also like your best defensive team in the Big Ten. They have the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Daryl Morsell. So they're playing physical too, but the problem is UConn's a better offensive team. Maryland was almost, they were last in points per game in the Big Ten. They were near the bottom in three-point percentage and free throws. To beat a good team, they're going to have to get some buckets. The spread's 1.5, or actually it's 2.5 now. The Huskies are hot, but I have faith in the Terps. I've already picked them in my bracket, so I can't go against them. I think they faced a tougher schedule and road, so I think they can pull this one out. It's going to be a low-scoring game to me, like a 58-57, very close. I'm taking the Terps in a toss-up. The next game is number 4, Virginia, and number 13, Ohio. Now, I know I've had my differences with Virginia in the past. I can't stand the way they play. It's so slow. It reminded me of Big Ten basketball in the ACC. It works. It somehow works, but they've got an easy matchup here. Ohio, you know, even with all Virginia's COVID issues and wondering if they were even going to be able to play in a tournament, they just won't lose to Ohio. The spread is 7.5. It should be higher. I would pick the Cavs to win by 15 points. You know, the Ohio Bobcats' best player is their point guard. He gets 7.5 assists per game. And he shoots well, but Virginia can neutralize a point guard, okay? That's what they do. They neutralize the team's best player. And because Ohio doesn't have more than one or two good players, it's really not going to make a difference there. Virginia's just going to beat him down, force him into turnovers, basically making bad plays. I see a lot of people picking Ohio for the upset, but I don't see it happening. The next game would be Oklahoma and Missouri, 8-9 matchup. Personally, I don't really care about this game. I'm taking Oklahoma. I don't really want to talk about it further. Missouri, you know, they finished below Ole Miss in SEC, you know, conference standings and got swept by Ole Miss. Yet, they made it in the tournament over Ole Miss. Kind of pisses me off a little bit. They're an average team. I don't know much about Oklahoma. So, I don't really care. I'm not going to do some research on that game. So, pick whoever you want. I'll take Oklahoma just because I'm mad at Mizzou. Now, you've got probably your biggest blowout. You got Gonzaga versus Norfolk State. The spread's 34.5. About the biggest spread you can find in college basketball. It'll be higher than that. The reason Norfolk State made the tournament is because Appalachian State, their opponent in the last game, was 0 of 19 from three-point range in the first half. They ended up shooting like 43s and made 6 of them. Norfolk had to dig out of a 6-point hole late in the game to pull out a 1-point victory. Doesn't really sound like a team that's going to be able to compete with Gonzaga, who's literally the best team in the country and has the most experience, you know. The Zags, they're going to dominate. And probably rest a lot of their players for this game. I don't see Suggs or any of them playing many minutes because they need to rest and make sure they're healthy for the tournament run. So, don't pick Norfolk. Don't even pick them to cover. Well, it's not going to be pretty. Next, you've got the BYU Cougars, number 6 seed against UCLA, number 11, who beat Michigan State in the play-in. Now, first of all, BYU, they're talking about changing the schedule of the entire tournament because they scheduled them on a Saturday, which means they may have to play on a Sunday. Who cares? If they can't play on Sunday, then they should forfeit. It's not the NCAA's, you know, it's not their duty or venue's duty to change the entire schedule of a tournament to accommodate BYU's religious, you know, preference, okay? Besides that, they'd have to reach the Sweet 16 to even make this happen. And they're not even going to get past this game. The Cougars had a couple of decent wins, but they couldn't compete with Gonzaga in any of the games they had. UCLA played a tougher schedule, and I think they had that 7-3 center they have. He's a monster. They can light it up from three. Jamie Jaquez, he had 27 points in that Pac-12 tournament game. He's a sophomore. He can light it up. He's not going to be afraid to shoot it. I'm picking UCLA in the upset. The spread's 3.5, but I'm picking them in the upset. The next game, not going to spend too much time on, Abilene Christian in Texas, a 14-3 seed matchup. Texas was a top 15 team all year. They actually won their tournament title without Greg Brown, their projected first round, or top 10 pick in the draft. They have Shaka Smart, one of your top 5 coaches at the moment right now. They have a pair of centers that can shoot, Kai Jones and Jericho Sims. They have it all. 4 of their 5 losses this year were by 4 points or less. So, Abilene Christian, their second time ever in the tournament, going to be about as bad as their first time in the tournament. Texas will not only beat the spread, but win the game. The spread's 9. The last game of the night is VCU and Oregon. Oregon always turns it on in tournament. I mean, VCU has had runs, but Oregon always wins at least 2 games in the tournament, even when they don't have good teams. This is going to be the same thing this year. Oregon, they endured a lot of injuries. They had like 2 or 3 pauses for COVID, but then they won 10 of their last 11 and won the Pac-12 title. Will Richardson, he's 6'6 or 6'5, I can't remember. He's their 3-point sharpshooter. He shoots over 40%. He had a thumb injury, but I think he's 100% now. I don't see them losing. The spread's 4. Now, I mean, VCU has an Atlantic 10 Player of the Year. Bones Highland, he scores about 20 points a game. But other than that, they don't really have much of a scoring threat. VCU always plays that aggressive trapping and crazy inbounding, trapping stuff. I mean, they were still top 10 in the country in steals and blocks, but they haven't played
the competition Oregon has. So I see Oregon winning this straight up
and the spread. And that is it for the picks for Saturday. That's the rest of the first round. After these games, we'll review both rounds, how I did, what I got, maybe what I got wrong, if I got anything wrong, and then we'll preview the next round.